standing before Christ. You are a servant, bondservant, slave to Jesus Christ. And you are. But just like in Ephesians chapter 6, when it's describing this good master, this master who is honorable, upstanding before the Lord, when it's describing that, when we're looking at Philemon, when you're looking at that text as well, how were they described? Christ-like, ultimately. They want their servants to become obedient to the gospel more than anything. They want to treat their slaves like brothers, not as slaves. So we got to recognize our standing that we are today slaves of Jesus Christ. Does anybody in here feel like that's a bad thing? Probably not. I certainly hope not. We are slaves to Jesus Christ, and that means a lot of really good things. The earthly master, when a slave comes to him, he's looking for food and shelter, perhaps even a wage, things like that. What are we coming to Christ for? Life. Freedom from the punishment of sin. Eventually, freedom from the presence of sin. Presently, right now, if you're a Christian, freedom from the power of sin. You can have today life in Jesus Christ. And you can have it more abundantly, Jesus says. An abundant life. A full, complete life. Does that sound what is that like what the world says slavery is? It's not. Slaves are supposed to have no rights and be beaten all the time and things like that. That's not the biblical picture. A slave like that will probably end up getting the death penalty because he's going to end up killing a slave. The Bible cares about justice. Amen? But today, right now, you are a slave to Jesus Christ, and you need to honor him. We are made children of God through the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are made co-heirs with Jesus by the mercies and grace of God. We are given righteousness by the one whom knew no sin. We are clothed in purity and holiness by the Lord. So clearly, just as an earthly master would take care of his own servant, clearly God has taken care of us. And we are eternally indebted to him, and we can never earn nor deserve the kind of care he has offered us freely. He proves to be a good and loving master who is eternally worthy of our submission and obedience because only he can take care of us in the way we need to be cared for. That's important. He is a good master. He is not going to lead you down the paths of corruption. He's not going to lead you down dark ways, but his word's a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. He's going to care for you like a good shepherd, Psalm 23. He's going to care for you like a good shepherd. He's going to lead you to still waters. He's going to fill your bellies. He's going to love you forever. Second, there are no masters nor slaves in the society, but we can simplify it, though I admit inadequately, so it's not a complete picture, to an employer, an employee. Now, I've heard this text applied in that regard a lot, and it's not the focus, granted, but we do need to bring it to our time. We're not slaves in the world right now, slaves to Christ, amen. But we're not in the plantations, things like that. We are employers and employees, that kind of thing. So it's inadequate, but it's a good application. There are heavy, obviously, fundamental differences between a slave and an employee. You sell yourself into slavery to preserve your own life with food and shelter, that kind of thing, and you get a job so you can enjoy your freedom and advance through the accumulation of wealth and experience, things like that. However, as an employer, you must treat your employees with respect and dignity, recognizing the image of God within the employee. That sounds pretty important, doesn't it? Treat your employees with respect and honor. Treat them like they have the image of God. You have to recognize the grace at work within your own heart and extend that grace of Jesus to the employee. So don't be cruel and vindictive, things like that, but offer grace and mercy so that the employee can truly recognize the workings of Christ in your life. Employees, you need to be working hard for the benefit of your employer, sure, but more so to glorify God, not as people pleasers, but people that want to actually honor Christ. So be a hard worker. Do these things, all the little things, the trivial details, whatever you might call them, even the boring stuff, do it to the honor and glory of God. And then last, and I'll close with this, you must become least. This is not negotiable. You must become least. Now, the way we do this might be different for everyone, but universally, it is necessary for you to become a servant to the people around you. It's necessary. Christ commands us to do that. It's not negotiable. It's not, well, maybe tomorrow I'll do this. It's right now, with the time that you have. You must become least. An attitude adjustment is good for this. And I don't confess to know every possible way that you can become a servant to someone, but I can say this, a good attitude you could have might be, what can I do to help you today? You don't even necessarily need to ask the question, but when you're talking to somebody, how can I help this person? The second question, how can I share my brother or sister's burdens today? How can I walk with them in that way and help them? That kind of attitude can lead you to, along with the guidance of the Holy Spirit, into service of all sorts. You might really enjoy where you find yourself if you're doing those kinds of things. It's true. So those three things in mind, recognizing your standing in Christ, employees and employers, honor one another, and then lastly, become the least. Those would be the applications for today. And we've looked at this idea of slavery from the text of Ephesians chapter 6. We looked at Deuteronomy 24. We even looked at Exodus 21. And we started off with Romans chapter 6. Let me go back to Romans chapter 6. If you want to turn there with me, I invite you to. Romans 6. I want to close with this because I believe it's important, because we really are slaves, whether we like it or not. We have a sort of idol, maybe inadvertent idol, in America, and we call it freedom. And freedom's valuable. I love the freedom to gather together without the fear of persecution. I love that. I love the ability to preach the word of God without fear of punishment. Freedom of speech. I love all of these different freedoms. It's a good thing. It's a valuable thing. Things that are worth fighting for even. However, we are not as free as we like to think ourselves of. We are slaves. We really are. Romans chapter 6. What then, are we to sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the key. This idea of slavery, you need to be viewing your relationship to Christ correctly, uprightly. You are here presently not to obey some sort of earthly master, not to obey some sort of fleshly master, not to obey your own flesh. You're here to obey Christ. And Christ has compelled you, and Christ has commanded you to do certain things like honoring your earthly master, treating him with the same reverence that you might treat Christ, who is your heavenly master. And as masters, to treat your slaves with dignity and respect, knowing that you both have the same master in heaven. It's important. We need to recognize our relationship with Christ and do his will while we are yet on earth. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for the message of your word, Lord. And I just ask that you honor it to us, Lord. Help it to grow us into the image of your Son, and help us just to be obedient slaves, Lord. Help us to love you the way we ought to, and help us to honor and glorify you as our heavenly Master. God, I pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now I'm going to invite you to come take the first couple of rows as we take communion. As our worship team sings a song, give you guys a couple of minutes to